A reading from the Christian scriptures is taken from 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, "He scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way because of your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God given to you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. The word of God for the people of God.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. It's good to be here with you this morning, offering our thanks to God for all the blessings that have been showered upon us. I think this is a beautiful tradition, gathering together before we dig into the Thanksgiving feast, to remember the source of all the bounty in our lives. Now, I know a lot of communities hold their Thanksgiving services on Wednesday night or even earlier in the week so as not to interfere with the cooking schedule or the parade or whatever. And I think that's fine. And they may even gather bigger crowds than we do, I dare say. But I'm really glad that we gather on this morning each year. It helps me to put the rituals of this day in their proper perspective. The passage from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians that we just heard has an interesting backstory. Paul is writing to his followers in this Greek seaside city. It's believed that Paul first visited Corinth in AD 49 or 50, and that he started the church in that place. He then moved on from Corinth. He tended to move on a lot. But as he so often did, he wrote letters back to that church to encourage them, to ensure that they would continue to flourish. This second letter to the church in Corinth, they actually say there were probably four letters, and the second letter is probably two letters put together and one letter is lost, but whatever. We'll call it the second letter. This second letter to the church in Corinth was written when Paul was in Macedonia. The section from which today's passage comes gives instructions for the collection for the poor in the Jerusalem church. Instructions for collection for the poor in the Jerusalem church. Now that's interesting enough, isn't it, to think about that only a few decades after the death of Christ, there is an identified church in Jerusalem, and there are other Christians caring for it. Paul is urging this Greek church in Corinth to send funds to support the struggling church in the Holy Land, not only because of the Jerusalem church's economic struggles, but also as a sign of unity among all the followers of Jesus. You see, the churches in the diaspora, these largely Gentile churches all around the Mediterranean Sea, well, they were much more prosperous than the church in Jerusalem. And perhaps they were also not quite so much in the spotlight of Roman persecution as the church in Jerusalem found itself. I imagine it was quieter in Corinth and a little easier to be a Christian in that place. Does that sound familiar to you at all? With all that's going on in our country and in the world, ongoing war in lands far away, natural disasters, and especially terrorist attacks at home and abroad, I find myself so grateful to live in this bucolic corner of the world. But I'm also thinking about our responsibility to those who are in harm's way. What should we do, we who are so fortunate not to be in the center of all of those metaphorical and literal storms? There's a lot to think about there and to preach about, but that's not what I want to focus on this Thanksgiving morning. Instead, I want to think about our own frame of mind as we give thanks. To employ a trite and overused phrase, I am thinking about the attitude of gratitude. You see, what caught my eye is verse 7 that we just heard. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Paul goes on to explain why that's so. When we give, we not only provide for someone else in need, but our thanksgiving multiplies exponentially. Further on in verse 12, we read, "For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God." And interestingly, science bears this out. We see that happiness results from being grateful. We feel better when we focus on what we're thankful for, rather than on what upsets us or makes us feel inadequate. That happiness lowers our stress levels. But that's not all. The improved emotional health that comes from a focus on gratitude improves our physical health, in part because that emotional balance leads to an increased likelihood of engaging in healthy activities. And we foster resilience in ourselves when we remain grateful even in the trying times of life. Robert Emmons, who I discovered bills himself as the world's leading scientific expert on gratitude, you can look it up. He says that thankfulness carries powerful benefits to our mental, physical, and social health because it's an affirmation of goodness. We affirm that there are good things in the world, and we acknowledge that other people, or even higher powers, if you're of a spiritual mindset, I think that's us, well, you affirm that these other things outside of you gave us many gifts, big and small, to help us achieve the goodness in our lives. Gratitude strengthens our relationships, he says, because it requires us to see how we've been supported and affirmed by others. So we give thanks not just because we should, or because it is once again the fourth Thursday in November, but because it makes our lives better. And Anne Lamott reminds us in her 2012 bestseller, Help, Thanks, Wow, the Three Essential Prayers, that thanks is a huge mind shift from thinking that God wants our happy chatter and a public demonstration and is deeply interested in our opinions of people we hate, to feeling quiet gratitude, humbly and amazingly, without shame at having been so blessed. We know that being thankful does us good. And we know that we are better people when we give thanks. And we know that God calls us to gratitude. How will we make thanksgiving the posture of our lives, the beginning and ending of our days? Well, that's tied up in the work of faith and discipleship, I think. But there's one thing I know. You can count on your fellow travelers in life, in particular those folks who sit beside you in the pews week after week, to be unexpected and joyful examples of good lives lived in thanks. I know you can name those shining lights, the ones who radiate with the joy of gratitude. Don't you wish you could become one of them? Wouldn't it be great if, when you entered a room, people perked up because they knew that you bring positive vibes? And if, when you left, they all commented on the joy that is evident in you? My friends, you can be that person. I dare you to be that person. If it doesn't seem natural to you, well then just fake it till you make it. Put yourself in a mind frame of thanksgiving every day, and before you know it, that will become what you are. After all, we ought to be people characterized by gratitude because we have been so blessed. Blessed with family and friends, blessed with loving community, blessed with good food to eat, blessed with good fortune, and blessed to be children of God, the object of God's surpassing grace, which Paul reminds us is an indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for all the bounty of our lives. Thanks for the beauty of this place. Thanks for the gifts we have received. Thanks for the love we have been given and have been privileged to give. May we become known as grateful people. Amen.
Let us join together in singing hymn number 551, the words of a grateful people. Come, ye thankful people, come.